My job is to be the best at whatever it is that I do. I never really wanted to say, I'm only gonna do this. When you're an entrepreneur and that's at your heart, everything's not always reality. You feel like you could do all kinds of stuff.
How did that kind of creative muscle start to flex for you?
Nobody's ever asked me that. Things started flourishing when I started, like, everything kind of exuded like who I was. And so you should, the people love the hair. Like, I mean, you just could just cut my head off and that's, they just love the hair.
Hey everyone, my name is Angela Hollowell and I'm your host of Honey and Hustle. Today on the show, we are catching up with a good friend and an incredible event curator here in Durham, North Carolina. Chisa Penix Brown is the founder of Lady Business and is the co-founder of Give It to the People with her husband. In today's episode, you will learn how to craft your personal brand that perfectly fits your style and personality.
Hey, thanks so much for joining us today. This podcast is free and will always be free and available on YouTube, Spotify, Apple, Good Pods, Heytai, you name it. While it's free for you to consume, it's not free for us to create. We pay our video editors, writers, production assistant, and operations manager for helping us make this show come to life. If you'd like to support us in making this show, please consider subscribing to our Substack community, using our affiliate links, or just simply sharing the show with someone who might enjoy it. All right, let's get into this conversation.
For people that don't know Chisa, you know, Chisa, again, to me, is just a very colorful individual, as you can see by the hair, and she's always got some kind of color coordinated outfit going on, and I'm just like in awe of her ability to do this and step out of the house dressed to the nines every single time. And for people that, you know, are not familiar, she has multiple businesses, let's just put that out there, but the first one that I became familiar with was the Lady Business. And it's not the Lady Business me and you are thinking about. So tell me a little more about that name.
So the funny thing is that it actually started that way. So there was a Thanksgiving, my brother was showing me his SNL skit, and they were talking about Lady Business. And I was just like, that's what I'm gonna name my company. And he was just like, what are you talking about? And I'm like, no, I feel like, you know, that you should have something that you are proud of. You should have something that if this was on, you know, your gravestone, your epitaph, that you would be like, yeah, that was something good. And so, you know, when I look at that, Lady Business has been able to win awards. She's gone a whole bunch of different places. She's gotten me in some doors. She's gotten contracts. And so I always personify it like her as a separate entity, because Lady Business also became synonymous with Chisa. So what happened was I decided that I wanted to break away from Lady Business and have this whole Chisa brand thing. So about 5 years ago, I made the decision of, okay, well, we're gonna go. And the craziest thing is I used to wear black and white all the time because that was the Lady Business thing. Okay. When I decided, okay, we're gonna break out a little from that and then we're gonna just do Chisa, then that's where the color started. It wasn't that I didn't always love color. It's just, I think that there was a time where I was like, okay, well, what we're going after is like these schools and these corporate kind of things. Mm-hmm. And so you had that corporate kind of mindset. And then things started flourishing when I started, like, everything kind of exuded like who I was. And so you should, the people love the hair. Like, I mean, you just could just cut my head off and that's, they just love the hair. So I always use it as, you know, I mean, it's kind of like a conversation starter, but it also goes completely with the brand because I think of the three things for us, which is confidence, color, and quality. And so I want people to get that whether they know me or not. If they see a picture, I want it to be like that. If I'm in person, I want it to be like that. So you still get it either way.
Yeah, I can appreciate that. And I think that it is very interesting that, you know, I sort of noticed you saying she, like mm-hmm. she was able to win awards, not like I was able to win awards.
No, she's a whole separate thing.
I see. It's yeah. Like the Sasha Fierce to your Beyonce. It's like this whole stage persona.
The Lady Business has her own thing that she does, you know? And so it's like, I think I took more ownership of Chisa. Mm-hmm. Of who I wanted people to see. And it's not like anything was fake before, but for instance, Chisa likes to cuss.
Okay.
Now, not saying that Lady Business doesn't cuss, but she does not do that in a public setting. Chisa has a podcast called Real Ass Affirmations, which as soon as you hear that, you should expect that there's going to be some cussing in there. So things that Chisa would do, me and Lady Business, there may be some separation in that, in the personality, you know? And I think that makes a huge difference. And then it transitioned into the current company that's with me and my husband, which was spawned from the from the depths of COVID. Okay. And so we just said, well, what can we do together? Because at the time, you know, they had told my husband he had to go home. I mean, he was working. And they told almost everybody in the company, you had to go home. And then they only brought back like a skeleton crew. And then, you know, that went on for longer than we thought it was going to go on for. And then he just was like, okay, well, let's do this business together. Now, since then, he has gone back to work. So we still do the business together. But it's a drastic difference. You know, like, I feel like Lady Business was more so me doing everything, and then Give It to the People is not the same thing. It might feel like it to some people on the outside, but it's very much a combination of me and him when we do the business.
Yeah, and that's a beautiful thing. We are going to talk about Give It to the People because y'all got a lot going on, but we're going to stay on Lady Business just a little bit longer because I really want to nail in, you know, that element of personal branding, mm-hmm. right? And how you can, in some ways, give yourself a nickname. Mm-hmm. Like when I started my business, my first business, Rootful Media, it was originally named Ange H Studio. Oh. I had never had anybody call me Ange before mm-hmm. that business started. So people started thinking my name was Ange. But it was a good way for me to tease out who knew me and who knew me from like social media.
Yes.
So like that, in that way, that was really helpful for me, but also like, I didn't want my name to be synonymous with my business. Like my business is a separate entity. So I changed the name of the business mm-hmm. and made that more specialized. And since then, since carving out my own space, it's like, I get it. Like people understand me and gravitate to me. And then if I can help them through my business, that's something we can discuss. And so for you, how hard was it for you to start teasing apart? I know the color was part of that. Did your online presence change at all? Mm-hmm. Did your email presence change at all? Talk to me about that.
That's another crazy story. So I feel like I'm very, and I'm not like, oh my God, I'm super religious, but I'm very rooted in, and I just want to use your words, I just felt like we use rooted, but I'm very rooted in just, it's a divine power that is over top of me, that things happen not by accident. And so when I say, you know, God got me, what happened, totally, completely unintentional. I still don't know what I did. They took my Instagram account. They took my Lady Business account. They said that I violated some whatever. You know how Instagram does, right? Which I didn't violate anything that I know of. And we were almost to our 10,000 followers and all of the rest of that. And, you know, I worked on trying to get it back and they didn't give it back. So when I lost the Lady Business page, and I use the word lost lightly, because I think that a lot of times you can feel like you lose things, but you have to let go of something to get the next thing. And so once that page was gone, it was like, oh, it kind of felt like there was a lot of identity and things that were in there. And then I had to create a new page. And so once that happened, then that's when I said, okay, well, we're just going to fully embrace Chisa. And then we're going to, you know, do some of those other things. And so it was kind of that trial and error, but it was a very purposeful, I guess, in the long run thing that happened is that they took the page, right? And so then you had to start over because there was no page there. And that was where a lot of the people were finding me at. And so then it was, okay, well, what do we want to do with this? What's different about this brand in comparison? And so I think that, you know, numbers make a big difference. So when you talk about money, when you talk about the things that you do and being intentional with that, there was a certain level of things that Lady Business did that now we may not do, or certain things that we've stopped just completely because that was that brand. And so it's a little bit different now.
Okay. Talk to me a little bit about, so like, even when I see your name on LinkedIn, it still says Chisa Penance Brown, Lady Business. So still kind of there.
Because they're not going to stop. Okay. They're not going to stop.
Okay.
And the thing is, Lady Business has a place in my heart. She is still marvelous. I still love Lady Business. And so there are people who do not call me Chisa. And part of that, which is why I wanted the Chisa Penance Brown brand anyway, was because of the fact that people mispronounce my name. And so if you've ever had a name which is difficult to people, my name's five letters long, C-H-I-S-A.
It's not that hard.
My mother's name is Lisa. It looks just like Lisa, just replace it with a C-H. I'm everything other than Chisa. I'm a Chelsea. Sometimes I'm a Chris.
Chris,
Chisa, Chissa. Like, so it's so many different derivatives of that. And it's like, okay, it's Chisa. And so once I started using that, then what's funny is people will come up and they'll still say, oh, you know, you are, what's your name? If you ask me what's my name, I'm going to tell you Chisa. And I have people tell me, no, that's not it.
I just told you.
Really? No, that's not it. And I'm just like, lady business, yeah. And so they know it. So I'm not gonna take the lady business off of there because I know that people know that. And I know that that company has been around longer than Give It to the People. And so, you know, you still want people to have that recognition with it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Did you start Lady Business in Greensboro?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
Talk to me about starting a business in Greensboro. Because Greensboro is a decent sized city, mm-hmm. but it's not the Triangle. You know, it's not Charlotte. Mm-hmm. And it is relatively close to those cities. So I can mm-hmm. see a lot of competition at times in my experience, just seeing it can kind of cannibalize the Greensboro scene in terms of search and in terms of just like recognition of that area as an entrepreneurial hotspot. So talk to me about your experience being in Greensboro.
I like what you just said, but it's not been in my experience. Mm-hmm. And I think it might be other people's experience for what they do for their business. My goal was always, I look at it like this. My job is to be the best at whatever it is that I do. Mm-hmm. So I don't worry about who else is doing whatever. When I first started Lady Business, the biggest thing was I was doing something different. And then it turned into what I'm doing now. So when I started teaching and doing the social media had just started. So everybody was trying to do mm-hmm. social media. And then everybody that was trying to do it either stopped doing it, because when you're doing something like that and anything that's definitely technology based, it moves so fast. Yeah. So you write a book on it and then in a month or two, definitely a year, it's completely obsolete. So I knew that in order for me to keep up with that business that I would always have to continually learn, right? Because I can't keep teaching you something that's completely obsolete and always finding out the new things. So either people stopped doing it altogether, or what they did was they found one specific niche in social media and they only focused on that. So the people that started when I started doing it are now, they're still doing stuff, but they really only focus on one thing, which is fine. And so if you want to become the master of that one thing, then cool. But I never really wanted to say, I'm only going to do this. You know, and when you see this little outfit, you know, colorful, this is how my mind is. So it's all these little spots, right? And therefore in that, I can't just stay with one thing because it's not going to make me happy. So that was it. So I would say in Greensboro, my goal was to be the best in that area and then to be in the whole thing with the state. So when I started teaching, then I said, okay, well, I have a goal of this is what I want to be. Because I'm always thinking about what does it sound like and what it looks like to people. Mm-hmm. And not in a way of like, oh, I don't want you to look or I don't want you to pay attention. But I think that if it sounds good, you'll pay attention to it. If it looks good, at least you'll give it a look and then you'll kind of see if you like it. And you can discern that for yourself. And so my thing was, I want it to sound good, I want it to look good, but more importantly than that, with everything that I do, I need it to feel good to people. So you know you can go to stuff that sounds good and that looks good, but when you get there, you don't get that feeling. And I want when people come to anything that I do, whether it's a class, whether it's a conference, a summit, or anything like, even if it's a webinar, I want you to feel like you belong there. And that's always been an intention of mine, which is why I've never really worried about competition. So are there other people that do similar things? Sure, they're never gonna be me. And I'm never gonna be them, and I'm never gonna try to do that. So I think that being in Greensboro, I was able to essentially kind of dominate that triad area. So the goal would be to do something similar, but just in a different way, now moving to the Triangle area. And I'm not competing with anybody, you know what I'm saying? So now it's just like, there's very specific things that I want to do. And as long as I stay focused on those things, why am I worried about what everybody else is doing? I'm not.
Yeah, no, and that's a good way to put it. I think like, something we haven't really talked about on this show, which is, you know, the fact that there is inherently competition when you start a business, which should not be a deterrent. It's always going to be there whether you're in the game or not.
Yes.
People are going to be there, you know what I'm saying? And really thinking about, you know, being the best or the only versus being like, you know, in the competition or the best in comparison to XYZ. Like, who cares about those people, you know?
Yeah.
And another thing, like, kind of caveat is that businesses change and grow over time, you know what I'm saying? And like, you have to decide, like, if it's growing and evolving in the way that like matches your goals, which is something that you have said that you've thought about, which is like, you know, yeah, I could also stop. I could also just say like, I'm not that interested enough in social media to keep learning and keep growing and keep teaching. Mm-hmm. But that is something that's interesting to you, mm-hmm. right? Versus other people who may have said, well, I'm mildly good at this. This is a payday for me because everybody needs my expertise right now. But I'm not willing to do the work that it takes to keep it because maybe, you know.
I've seen that happen too.
Yeah. So it can be multifaceted in the way that a business grows. And I think social media in general is just such a interesting landscape even now. And I say that being someone who only uses like two platforms really, uh-huh. you know, and even though those two platforms are really like constantly growing and evolving.
Yes.
So talk to me a little bit about just the structure of Lady Business. Did you have help at all? Like, did you have any kind of virtual assistants? Did you use subcontractors? Okay.
No, I never did. Not with Lady Business. I used to, the only thing that I had at that time was I would get interns. And so I had those, and I would always structure whatever they were doing based on what they wanted to do in their real life. So if I knew, and I used to get them from either business or communications.
Okay.
Because those are the things that made the most amount of sense to me. And so let's see what you want to do and then go from there and then grow. All of my interns are doing amazing things now. All of them have jobs, which is a good thing. And I think the funny thing, whenever I got an intern, they were like, they're not teaching us this stuff at school. You should come and teach at the school. And I'm like, yeah, see, I don't want to do that academic side. I'm not grading papers. I don't want to hear your excuses about why your work is late. I'm not interested in that part. But the part that I'm interested in with teaching is I like working with adults because it's a drastic difference. When you, students in college, me included, we have a privilege of, well, we're paying for this or it's not as important yet because we're still in college. Now, I'm not saying that's all students, but it's just a general consensus, in my opinion. Once you get out into the real world and you have to pay these real bills and this real insurance and this real car payment and all of those things, and specifically if you are going to be a full-time business owner where this is the only thing that you do, right? Once you get to that level, and not even, you don't even have to get full-time business owner. When you have a kid, when you have somebody else to support, when you have, it could be a dog, okay? I mean, whatever it is that you have to support and you don't have, and I know college is not free room and board, but that's how you feel when you're in college, right?
They ain't coming directly.
Okay, exactly. But when you have to do that on a regular basis, those people are serious.
Yeah.
And those people really do want to make changes. Now, have I had people come to classes over the years who are not as serious? It might take more for them to get more serious. But the people that really come, that I love that because they want to make a difference and they want to make money as soon as possible. They want to be good. They want to be great. They want to accomplish something for themselves. They don't want to work their job, or they do want to work their job, but they want to do it till they retire. That type of grown-up person is amazing because they have a different need and a sense of urgency to them. And so that's why Lady Business was always structured to be able to help those people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I mean, like, having skin in the game says something, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? Whether it's you're taking a free class and you're giving your time to go to that class, or you're paying for a class and you're giving your own money to pay for that class, like, you got skin in the game. You wanted a return on that investment, mm-hmm. right? You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, at the end of the day, let's say you're working a full-time job or even a part-time job, mm-hmm. and you're giving your time outside of work, which is probably already tough, mm-hmm. to carve out time to do that. And you're saying, like, I'm gonna dedicate this time to learning and growing and networking. Mm-hmm. You know, I could be doing anything else. I could be looking for a second job if money was the motive. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And but you're exchanging it for something. And oftentimes when you start a business, you're exchanging it for the future. You're not even exchanging it for what's happening now. You know how many activities you do that don't actually produce income, but you have to do them until somebody pays attention to it and then exchanges that money for the time that you spend in there? So, I mean, when you're looking at that, you also have to take into consideration, I'm doing this for the future of what I want. And then eventually I'll have some things. And it's just like, even now, I look at some things that I wanted 3 years ago, 4 years ago, and they come easy now, way easier than they used to, you know? And it's funny, my husband, I don't even want to tell this story, but he said, well, you know, in certain places, it's like, you're the friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. I'm only telling this story just cause, okay? And he was like, you're not the Avengers Spider-Man, but you're the friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. And I was just like, you know what? Sometimes those things hurt my feelings. But he was just saying, so when people are used to getting certain things from you in a certain manner, and the thing is, a lot of the classes that I teach, because the school is somebody else is paying for them, they're free, and I have no problem with that. But sometimes in an area where you've been dominant and you've been having so many things for free, maybe people don't feel like they want to pay for it. But if you go somewhere else, then it's like, oh, this is a premium thing, I should pay for it, and I understand that. So it's not that they don't understand the value, it's just that they'll say, oh, well, let's wait till another free thing comes along. And for me, I'm still fine with the free stuff because it's free for you, but I'm still going to get paid. But if I know that I want more, or if I know that I want to change the demographic, then I have to be willing to make that decision. And you also have to understand, every time you raise your prices, you're going to lose some people. So, you know, that's, I guess I'll be friendly neighborhood Spider-Man in some areas, but, you know, it's kind of like Fat Joe said, the price goes up, you know, and that you have to kind of understand that. And so, and I told him, I was like, well, first of all, I don't want to be Spider-Man. I want to be Thor. Because Spider-Man doesn't even have any powers. So I'm just like, yeah, I mean, but I'm like, at least Thor has powers. You know, he can shoot thunder out, right? So I'm like, I love that idea. But I like the fact that one thing about my husband is he will always check me. He will always make sure that, you know, that you're rooted in reality. Because when you're an entrepreneur and that's at your heart, everything's not always reality. You feel like you can do all kinds of stuff. And he is not that person. He is definitely more of a, I'm going to go to work. I'm going to make money. Yes, we can do this business thing. But that's never going to be the first inclination to do the business thing. And I do think that that's a good thing, a balance with a person like me who is always going to do the business thing. Okay. So, you know, you got to kind of see what kind of person you are. And if that means you need to change something, then you need to figure out what that thing is. And it might be you, it might be your attitude, it might be your environment, it might be that you do need to hire somebody, it might be that you need to learn something else, but you need to always take into consideration that there is an evaluation point of yourself that you have to take, because you can always be better.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. And I think, like, too, going back to your point about, like, or the comment that you are the friendly neighborhood Spider-Man, you know, on some level, it's like, you know, I can do all the things. Like, I really don't care as long as I'm getting paid to do what I love. And, you know, I feel like I can do anything. This business can grow. You know, at any time I want to take this premium, I can do that. It's probably your thought process. And that's the truth. But I think, too, that's something I had to get comfortable with when I started saying, okay, I want to be a premium service. I want to be like not even a luxury service, but just a high value service, was getting used to the comfort of hearing no a lot more. Mm-hmm. And knowing that not every opportunity is for me, and having to self-select and be a little more selective on my end as well with the clients and the grants or the projects or the events that I went to. And for me, that meant stepping back to networking events. Mm-hmm. Because that's a lot of time that you don't get paid for. Mm-hmm. May or may not meet, you know, someone that's going to be a good connection for you there. I'm not saying don't do it. I did a lot of networking events at one point. Mm-hmm. But now it's like I have to get more comfortable saying, like, hey, I know I'm, you know, we're connected, but I can't go to everything. Mm-hmm. You know?
And I agree with that. And I think when you first start, you want to try to meet as many people as possible. And so that's understandable. But I've always been a person who looks at if I can have people gravitate to me. Yeah. I'd rather host something and you come, and I can invite 20 people, 50 people, whatever it is, to attend. And I know that if the people really wanted to be there, they'd be there, and they're there, and then they see the value, and then they come again. Then they sponsor, then they, you know, participate, whatever it is. And so I will go to things, and it's things that I'm getting ready to go to now. But I feel like based on who I think might be in the room, and I don't even have to know who's in the room, right? But that there will be a good connection there, you know? And so I just kind of look at the fact of if I go to a networking event, I don't plan on trying to meet more than three people that I think would be good connections for me. I don't care if it's 100 people in a room, 1,000 people in a room, but three is always the number. And so I look at it from that perspective, and if I had a good connection, then that was that good connection. The issue is not meeting people. The issue is following up with people after you meet them. That's the issue. So you can network all day. You can go to all the things. But did you make an actual connection with somebody that can be beneficial to you? And I'm not saying that it just needs to be transactional, because you might find a new friend. You know what I mean? If that's what you're looking for, or you might not even be looking for it and it happens. But I think that there is power in you following up with people. And I mean, once you start to do that, my business does well, both of them, because of relationships. It doesn't just do well just because I will it to do well. But, you know, when you start thinking about, when I say it gets easier because you're not having to, what I like to call it like this, either I'm going fishing or I'm going hunting. Fishing to me is all of the smaller things, the things that just naturally just come easier. The hunting is the stuff that it might not be anything that comes to fruition for 3 months, 6 months, or a year. But it doesn't mean that I still don't go hunting, right? Because those things are going to be more profitable. Those things are going to be putting you in a different light, in a different stage, at a different level. And so, you know, I kind of look at it as either one of those things. So like for the rest of the year, I don't really plan on doing anything that is outside of the realm of going to things and seeing other things, how people do stuff, meeting new people, because that to me is what makes sense. And I think that even though moving from the triad to the triangle, we're talking about like 70 miles, right? It's a huge difference in these 70 miles, even in the little bit of time that I've been here. When you live at a place, it's drastically different than just visiting. And I think if people understand that, you have to understand that you need to get into this community and see what's really happening here. Because before it was kind of surface level. But now once you're in it, then you'll be amazed at the things that people will help connect you to once they know what your actual intention is.
So speaking of events, Give It to the People does host a lot of events. Okay, talk to me about the difference in the level of support that you now have with your husband now working with you on that.
Men. So, and I'm just being honest. So with Lady Business, I used to have men say, oh, can I come to that? Because Lady Business was hosting it. It was like, yeah, it's a class. You can come to it. It didn't say it was just for women. Now, if it said it was just for women, I still have men that come to it, but they feel more comfortable now. So the level of the amount of men that now come to things has drastically increased. And what we like to do is we like to use our wording very specifically when we say we do curated conferences. And, you know, I had somebody ask me, well, what's the difference in that than an event? It's how you feel, right? It's events galore. But I really want, from when you walk in the door, somebody to greet you. Because that's important. You know how many events you go to and people don't even speak as soon as you walk in? That bothers my nerves. Something kind of terrible. And then I'm hoping that, I don't care how many people is, I'm hoping I get to speak to you when I come to an event. And I don't care how many people is. And I don't mean that I have to have a whole drawn out conversation, but that I still can say hello. You know what I mean? I'm never trying to get too big to where I don't feel like I can do that. And thank people for coming. And I like to ask people, why did they come? You know? Those personal things, my thing is I'm big on delivering what we said we would deliver on. If I told you that you were going to have a good time, if I told you you were going to meet like-minded people, if I told you that there was going to be opportunity for mentorship, networking, you know, that this was going to be self-care, whatever the thing is that I told you, when I'm selling that to you, you need to get that when you get there. And hopefully you get it in abundance, right? So when people come to our stuff, I think that the biggest thing is that they're like, I really felt like I got what you said that I was gonna get. Like, you didn't lie to me. You told me the truth. Wow. Because it's just so many events happening now. And that's not, I don't think that that's what we decided to do. And when I say still intent on names, you know, like, I think that what you call yourself does make a big difference. And what you say you do does make a big difference. So if you're telling me you want to be a premium service, it's certain things you're just not going to take. Thank you for the opportunity. But that is not what we're doing right now. And you need to be able to do that and say that. And so I want people to feel good when they come. I don't care if it's free or if it's paid. Did you feel like it was worth your time? Because you can't get that back. So I've gone to stuff and I'm just like, did I spend my money? and I spent my time, and this is what I got from it, never again. And that's what people will do, right? Now, they might talk bad about you, but they might not. And it's actually, in a lot of ways to me, it's kind of worse when they don't say anything.
Because then you don't know.
You don't know, and they're not coming back. You know, and they're still going to tell their friends and their family, but they won't voice it to you. And so for me, I think it's very important to be intentional about the speakers that we have, about the order of things, about, and my biggest thing, anybody that knows me, it's about stuff being on time. My anxiety will not allow, when I'm telling you it's, when it's time to be somewhere, I need it to start here and there. I don't care if it's one person in the room, you know? And so that to me, that's one of the things that I think sets us apart, because do you know how many things don't start on time?
Most things.
I can't take it. I can't do it. It's just, it's like, it is something in me. And so I don't think my husband was always like this, but he was a military kid. So he still is very focused, but once we started like us, we are very, I don't care where we're going. Okay, if we could be going to the grocery store, what time did we say we were going? Okay, and the thing is, we have the remote start on the car. The car starts at a certain time in the morning, and you have 10 minutes to get downstairs in between the time that the car starts and it cuts off. Guarantee you we're at that car before the car cuts off. And it's not like anybody's watching the clock. It's just an internal thing where you know what time you're supposed to be doing something. And that, to me, makes a big thing in business, because people will disrespect your time.
Yes.
All the time.
Yes.
And think it's okay.
Yeah.
Which is why I don't like going to the doctor's office.
No.
Stop telling me to be there early. Okay? Stop telling me to be there early, and you don't see me till 30 minutes after you told me you were going to be in here.
No.
And then you want to walk in like you're on time. The doctor's office is the absolute worst. Do I get money back off my copay because you came in 30 minutes late? No. So it's stuff like that that really bothers me. But you just have to understand the nature of it. That doesn't happen over here, you know? And I think that that respect from the gate with people's time, people know when they expect that. That's why they're not late. That's why they know what time to be there when something happens. Yeah.
My favorite thing is when people ask you for your time for like a meeting, and then they ghost you and they don't ever say anything. Like, you'll follow up, be like, hey, is this still a good time? And then they never say anything. And it's just like, well, I planned for like 15 or 30 minutes of my day to be with you, and now that's gone. And now I have to try to like refocus on something else.
So do they do that on the day that it was supposed to happen? Oh, no. See, that's a problem.
That really irks my soul.
Yeah, no.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't reschedule when they ask 2 days later, because why would you disrespect my time like that?
No, and they don't
call or text or email or anything? Yeah, no. It is a level of respect, because you don't know what else I could have done with that time. You don't know where else I could have gone. And 10 to 15 minutes, whether people realize it, is a long time.
Especially if you had planned for that time.
Yes,
if you set aside that.
Because you had to do stuff beforehand to get ready. And then you had a plan for what you were going to do afterwards. And they just totally disrespected that time. I hate that. I'm sorry that happens.
It's okay.
It does, though.
It does happen.
Mm-hmm.
So one thing I want to kind of circle back to that you said previously that I find very interesting, and that is very similar to me, and that you said when you go to an event, no matter how many people are there, you try to find at least three people to connect with. Three, you know, like you're good with three. And as an introvert, that's probably my social limit. 3 to 5.
Oh, okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like if I have 3 to 5 good conversations,
that's good.
I'm good, right? But I feel like extroverts typically like to work the room. And I feel like that's the opposite of your approach, which is very fascinating to me.
It is. Let me tell you, you know what? I feel like it's not that it's not anything that I'm trying to do. Mm-hmm. It just naturally happens. Mm-hmm. What I do when I go to events is I like to look around the room. So if I see somebody that I really wanted to talk to, maybe because I already knew that they were going to be there, then I'm going to definitely go up and talk to that person. That's a guarantee.
And that's how me and Chisa met in person.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to do that. But if it is, if I don't know the people there, I'm going to find myself a table, a chair, or something, and I'm going to sit there and I'm going to look around and just observe. And I always do it. And what happens every time is the people come to me.
Yeah.
I'm just sitting there minding my business.
She is that girl.
they, because it's this thing of, well, who are you to be sitting down? Mm-hmm. Who are you to not? Because I feel like maybe people think I look like I should be talking a lot. Mm-hmm. And I do, okay? So it's, they're correct. They're 100% correct. I do talk a lot. Once I get into that, I'll talk to you for 30 minutes and don't even know your name. We could just have a whole conversation. I'd be like, oh, that's a bee on your shirt. Girl, I have a friend that likes honeybees. And then we just get into the conversation. And then I'm like, what's your name? 30 minutes later. So I think it just kind of depends. And then is it different if I'm by myself than if I'm with my husband? No, because I do the same thing, you know, even in that situation. I just think that, events, especially really big ones, it's a look to see who's doing whatever. I feel like that observation part gets missed a lot. And I used to be the person that was exactly what you would expect. Oh, let me go pass out a million business cards. And then I had a mentor at one point in time. And he's like, why are people passing out so many business cards? He's like, I don't even use business cards anymore. And I was just like, what? And he was like, yeah, I don't use them anymore. Because what's going to happen is if we want a genuine connection, don't you have your phone? Yeah. Don't I have my phone? Yeah. So then we'll actually sit there and we'll exchange information right there with the phone. So it's no reason for me to have a business card. So it's not that I don't have cards with me. I don't have business cards, but I have like little flyers, small ones, like a 5x7, because I use them interchangeably at events and stuff. And I have a digital, scan the QR code, and then you'll get all of the contact information and I'll get yours. And that's what I do now. But do you know how many people get offended that I don't have business cards? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, my whole business runs online.
Yeah.
I'm not a landscaper. So I don't need to give you the card for you to come and get a quote and kind of thing. That's not what I do. And people, and it's specifically men that get offended the most, that I don't have business cards. Oh, well, how do you run your business? Very well. Very successfully is how I run my business. I didn't ask you for a business card, though, did I? I mean, I don't recall. Oh, you asked me for one. I don't have one. Would you like to connect? And so that exchange then lets me know, okay, well, let's connect immediately. And now I think it's even easier with social media. So then, oh, and what I find that happens, and this is kind of an interesting thing, is people will be like, oh, girl, I'm already following you. Okay, that's wonderful. Okay. And I didn't know that they were following, and maybe they didn't know that they were following. And, but it continues to happen like that. And so I think it's a good thing. And if not, then I'll go ahead and follow them. We'll follow each other and then we get connected. And the people that really are serious, then we'll probably do something like we're doing now. Have an interview, talk on the phone, do something like that, plan to meet up, depending on where everybody is. And then now we're friends. It's much simpler like that. And I think depending on what your goal is, if I'm going specifically for a certain target, I'm gonna hit the target when I get there. That's not a question. But if I'm just going because I just want to learn, then that's it.
Yeah.
If I just want to network, then that's it. But if I'm going for, okay, I need to meet a banker that's in the room. If I'm going because I need to meet the person that's hosting this thing.
Yeah.
If I'm going, then that's a little different of a target. But when I go to stuff, I think now I just genuinely go just to see what's happening, you know? And that makes a huge difference because when I started my business, you were trying to get people to pay attention to your stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not necessarily trying to do that the same way now. Not that it's not a necessity, but it's different rooms to be in.
Correct.
And that's the biggest difference.
Yeah, I mean, you hit the nail on the head with that one, because I kind of feel the same. It's not that I don't value networking. It's not that I don't value meeting people, but I mean, the spray and pray method just don't work no more. It just doesn't. So I want to go into your speaking a little bit, because not only do you host events, but you're also an incredible speaker. And I've actually learned a couple of things from you so far already that I'm going to implement on my next talk.
Okay. And I can't wait to see you at your talk, because I wish the last time I would have been able to. It was just so much going on. But I will be at your talk this next time.
It's
yes.
Fine. It's totally fine. And I found that I attend conferences with a different lens now, which we don't have to get into in this conversation. But just from the perspective of speaking and developing a presentation, how did that kind of creative muscle start to flex for you?
Nobody's ever asked me that. When you talk a lot and you're an extrovert from New York and you move to the South and you of course, like all New Yorkers, can't help but tell people you're not from here, you're from New York. That starts the whole thing. That starts the whole thing. And it does not matter how long you have not physically lived in New York, that's where you're from. There is something inside of us, I think, that makes us let you know that. And I think that's probably what started the whole speaking thing. I always wanted to say something, but it needed to be something that mattered. Because when I don't have something to say, or I don't feel like I can lend to the conversation, I'll sit there and I'll be quiet. You know, and one of the things that I think that people don't realize with power in general is sometimes you just need to listen. That's part of the biggest thing. So I think that, you know, when you start, if you're going to develop a speaking career, you need to kind of figure out, well, what do you actually want to talk to people about? What's important? And I think it's always best if you have some actual experience in the thing that you're talking about. Because I see, it's kind of like the kids now, right? I'm just going to say the kids, this generation. I don't need to put a letter on the generation. But their goal is to be influencers. Okay, but they grew up seeing that. So the question is, what did you see when you were young that then shaped who you wanted to be today, right? So when I was young, I saw Maya Angelou, you know what I'm saying? I remember going to church at this one church because I used to sing in the choir at Mount Vernon High School, and Al Sharpton was there, right? And I mean, this is Al Sharpton, I got the, you know, the Conkaline Al Sharpton. Okay, this was thick Al Sharpton. Okay, this wasn't thin Al Sharpton. And so, you know, that, you know, I saw Dorothy Height. You know, the stuff that I saw, it made me say, yeah, I like that. It's a power in being the person that's standing up in front of the room and everybody's listening and saying something good, right? So it wasn't just standing up there and just saying stuff, but saying something good that you could know that people would feel. That was the thing, right? And so I think when I speak, it just depends on how I'm speaking. Like if I'm speaking to motivate, then that's a little bit different in a way that I'm speaking to teach, because I'm teaching you ABC. This is how you do something, but I still have a holistic view to how I teach regardless. And I think part of the issue with people is that they don't feel like they can do it. You know, that imposter syndrome creeps in, or they didn't have anybody that believed in them. They think they have an idea, but if you can just shine a little bit of light on that person's life and you can then tell them, okay, well, this might not be great right now, but you could tweak it. You could make it better. That part right there is something that that's where the magic is at, right? So for me, that was kind of probably what started way back when. And I think that was an important factor in kind of deciding who you wanted to be. So the kids now, they have all kinds of things now that influence them. But I knew that the things that I liked, I knew you were going to have to work to get them. I don't think that they understand that the same way now. You know, like they say, I want to stay home and I want to open up presents, or I stay home and I want to play video games. Now, it's certain things that you can do and you can still make a whole bunch of money doing that, but it still takes work, and I don't think that they understand that part of it. And so when I look at speaking, I look at it as my goal is to try to make a difference in somebody, make them feel a little bit better about something. And if I can do that, then I'm good.
Okay. Yeah. No, and I think, and the reason I'm asking all these questions, you know, obviously for reasons, is because, again, like when you're on social media, you're probably not talking about, you know, the adjustments you made when you started having interns. You're probably not talking about how much different it feels now to have help and what that means coming from being a solopreneur. You're probably not talking about, you know, how you probably would have liked to have a virtual assistant ages ago. But, you know, the money had to be there. So I think that, you know, we're still, while I don't see necessarily anything wrong with being an influencer or a YouTuber or a podcast or anything like that, I think, you know, we're still working out the balance between showing the process and showing the product.
That's a definite. And I'm going to tell you what's so interesting about you saying that. I was telling people, and I put out a post the other day where I was like, I think we should have a discussion about just that change of movement, right? And I said, okay, we're gonna do this new series, which will start soon. And I want to be able to be a little bit more forthcoming. And part of that is, and how do I wanna say it in the nicest way that it seems? Vanity. Okay, I'm just gonna be honest with you. So when you say, oh, she comes out and she's such and such and da 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 da, that's not what this girl was looking like this morning. Now my hair was still done. We gonna keep her hair done, right? Okay, that's always gonna be the case. The hair, I don't get, when I pop up, I'm gonna take off my do-rag, cause I could on do-rag. Take off my do-rag and pump her up. My hair's always gonna be together. All right, but I think that I do not put out as much of the behind the scenes things as some other people do, right? I don't do a whole lot of, let me tell you how I got here to do this thing. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it's a bad thing. I just put out what I want to be seen, right? And so if a person thinks that, and it's not like it's fake or fabricated, it's just, this is what it is today, and I'm showing you this thing today. But I didn't need to show you, in my opinion, all of the steps that it took to get there. So it's always interesting to me. I see people that do content that way of, oh, let's show you this, and it's A to B, and then, oh, now here's the whole thing. And then they show you all of that, and that's cool, and that's good. But I'm thinking to myself, a lot of times, I'm just focused on what the end result is.
Right.
So I'm gonna invite you to something, and then here's the end result. But I don't really show all of the meetings that happen to get behind there, all of the before. I just don't usually do that. And so I had already decided I would do a little bit more of that kind of going forward, because I think it could be important to some people to see that process. And I'm still never going to show the whole entire process. I'm not going to do that. But that's just me.
Yeah.
And, you know, so it's like, I'd rather, instead of showing me working out, I'd rather just come out and be, you know, slim thick, right? Like, I'm just gonna say that. Now, I have not started working out, so don't worry about that part. And who knows, girl, I might go get somebody to just cut a slit and just pull out some of the stomach and we'll be good. I don't know what'll happen. We'll see what happens. But even if I did that, I wouldn't show me at the hospital if I ever did that, right? I wouldn't show me at the hospital. Like, I just wouldn't do that. I'd be like, we slim thick now, right? Like, you know, like the girls do. But I think it's just one of those things where you can decide on how much you show. Mm-hmm. You can decide on what's important to you. And, you know, now they say everything is content. It could be if you want to make it that way,
yeah.
You know? And so how you want to be perceived, you put those things out into the world, you know? And I'm not a person who... I like to be happy. That's my natural state, is just being happy. I do not like a whole bunch of discord, and I try to minimize that. And if I feel like there's something that's about to be a piece of discord, then I try to remove myself from that situation. Because who has time for all of that? And it's not to say that discord doesn't happen. It's just saying, well, over here in this space where we live, we want everything to be as calm as possible, because I think you think better when you have calm, right? You think better when you have clarity. But when it's too much going on and some unnecessary stuff, I don't. Mm-mm.
Yeah. No, that's completely fair. Before I let you get out of here, I think that's a really good part to stop on. I got some rapid fire questions for you.
I'm here.
You here? Okay. Let me pick up my.
Okay.
Okay.
They so rapid. They jumped on the floor, y'all. Look, no questions was like. Okay.
Yeah. I had to let it happen. It happened like in the middle of the interview, and I was just like,
I saw it. I was like, it's okay. We'll get them later.
Okay. So I think I actually heard you answer this one at the beginning. Describe your brand in 3 words.
Oh, that's easy. It's color, confidence, and quality.
That's mm-hmm. what I heard. Okay. I just make sure I heard
yep.
you right.
You
that's
did.
All, that's all I was doing. Mm-hmm. What's the biggest lesson you've learned as an entrepreneur?
Mind your business.
Okay, mind your black ass business.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's it, minding my black ass business. I definitely learned that one. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's see here. What is the costliest decision that you would make again?
Letting go of a client. Because when I did let go of one big client, then that's when I wrote my book, and then that's when everything started to change. Mm-hmm. So I would definitely let go of that situation again. Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's a big one. What habits have you had to remove from your life since starting your businesses?
Procrastination. Not that I don't still procrastinate, but I only procrastinate. I get an intuitive kind of feeling if I'm gonna procrastinate. And every time that I do it, something changes that I should have done differently. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, if I give you an example real quick. I was getting ready to pay for this service that will automatically update Eventbrite events on your website, right? And I went that morning and I started putting in the card stuff, then I stopped because somebody called or something. I went a second time and I stopped. Then by the time I went back to do it the third time, I went on Eventbrite, and Eventbrite went ahead, every event now you have to pay for.
Really?
Yeah. So my question is, am I going to pay every time, or am I going to pay monthly for Eventbrite to put my events up there and pay for this service too? Because is it worth it? Right. And so that was one of those things where if I had paid for that service, yeah, I would go ahead and use it like that. But then would it be a waste if I don't use it? And that was a procrastination thing that just turned into, and it was actually even a day before that or 2 days beforehand, and I procrastinated, and then that's when I saw the change. Okay. Every time I do it, it's like discernment of some sort, like, hold on, don't do that yet. And I guess it's the Holy Spirit inside saying, hold on. And I'll be like, all right, Holy Spirit, I got you. And then it works out every time.
I love it. I love it. Okay. Last but not least, what would be the title of your autobiography?
If I was to pick something with the version of me that I am right now, it would be CMB, We All We Got. Okay. And you have to be a certain age, and you have to know about New Jack City to kind of know that. And if I'm saying at this exact time, I think that it would be that, which then kind of culminates my relationship with my husband. So CMB, for people that know, was Cash Money Brothers in New Jack City, right? But my husband's initials and mine are Chisa and Mont Brown. So when I put out certain things, I'm like, CMB, We All We Got. Like, it's just us, right? And I think that if somebody was to say, what are you gonna do right now? I think that things lead up to a certain point. And even if, let's just say I'm gone, that would still be a point that would be very important to me into how I make decisions and who I know that I wanna be going forward. So that's what I'd have to pick at this exact moment. Yeah.
Okay, I can respect that. I appreciate you sharing.
And I also want to be a drug dealer, too. Just a safe one. No, I do. I want to just deal you happiness. So, you know, I like being a dope dealer. I don't want to deal dopeness. So, yeah.
I like that. I like that. Thank you so much for joining me today. Spreading a little bit of joy. Dealing a little bit of dope. Not literally. Please don't come for me, Popo, if you're watching this.
No. I'm dealing happiness. So that's the dopeness, right? Like, that's what I deal in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. We appreciate you for coming through.
That's all for today's episode. And if you can't wait for the next episode, you can subscribe to our paid membership on Substack to get exclusive content like outtakes, bloopers, after-show thoughts, and more. If you enjoyed this episode, please be sure to give us a 5-star rating on your app of choice or like this video on YouTube. We'll catch you in the next episode.